What's up? This is Sideline Stories. I'm Ryan Eddy.
I'm Jackson Snow.
And today we're going to be talking about the All-Star Game. We're going to be talking about the format, the snubs, who we think is too high, too low, everything you guys are going to need to know about the All-Star Game. First of all, you're not leaving the technical difficulties we've had today.
Yeah.
But we're sorry that the audio isn't going to be up to par. It's going to be similar to the last time, but hopefully next time it'll be back to the professional quality.
Yeah, the setup's honestly just messing up right now, and we're sorry in advance.
Yeah. All right, so first of all, the All-Star format, they've changed it yet again for however many times in the past decade or so. So the new format is there's going to be four teams, and it's going to be a mini tournament, so it's going to be three games. Three of the four teams are going to be composed of eight All-Stars, so 24 All-Stars in total. And the last team is going to be the Rising Stars team, who, by the way, who has to compete against another Rising Star team to qualify for the All-Star game.
Don't they have like a little tournament too?
They do.
The winner of that tournament.
I don't think it's a tournament. I think it's a game. Okay. It's a game against two Rising Stars teams. And then for each game, the winner will be the first team to reach or surpass 40 points. So it's going to be three shorter games, all back-to-back-to-back, I'm assuming. And each team is going to have eight players drafted by their own TNT analysts, who are Charles Barkley, Shaq, and Kenny Smith. So they're all going to have their own team. Then the fourth team is going to be ran by Candace Parker, the WNBA player. And the four teams will compete for a prize pool of $1.8 million, with each team on the championship roster getting $125K, on the second place team getting $50K, on the third and fourth place teams, they all get $25K. So that's the complicated and unnecessary and annoying new format that they've given us.
So the first thing I want to talk about is, like, why do we need a Rising Stars team? Why can't we just, well, there's kind of a reason why we can't have a fourth All-Star team, because the league has to pay more money. But I really don't think this is the answer to a problem that they have. I think, honestly, an easier way to, you know, have players more involved in the All-Star game is with, you can just pay them. Like, let's just say the East team, they win a quarter, they get a prize for winning that quarter. And they can try throughout the whole game with a prize pool of however much amount for every single quarter. So therefore, in the quarter, like every single quarter, they could try, you know?
Yeah, well, this new idea, I just don't think it's going to work. And one interesting proposal that I have seen on the internet is that the winner of the All-Star game between the East and the West, so back how it used to be, gets home court advantage in the NBA Finals. So it kind of, that would be interesting. That is real stakes for your real season. And that, I believe, would motivate the players who believe they have a championship caliber roster to try hard, because their season could be on the line.
I think that's on, I don't know, I feel like the All-Star game, that's a good idea, but I feel like it shouldn't have that much, like,
sway.
Yeah, sway.
Yeah.
And I feel like, obviously, this whole format, in my opinion, I think it's not good. If anything, you can have teams of more All-Stars, especially if you're having three teams, because people get snubbed every year. I think you can add on All-Stars.
So you want to expand the number of All-Stars?
Yeah, because if you're only going to have two teams, obviously 24 All-Stars is good. But if you have more, and you're like, you know, balancing them out a little bit, I think you can add more players.
Well, I don't know, because I don't want to disrespect the caliber of player you need to be an All-Star. We can't have 32 All-Stars around the league. That's more than one All-Star per team on average. So I think All-Star needs to remain significant, and you can't just be throwing out All-Stars like that, you know? It has to be exclusive part. You can't really expand it. That's
and
how I view it.
Another question I have is, what team is Wimby going to play for? Because, like, obviously he's an All-Star caliber player, but he's still a second and first year player. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's weird. Where does the cutoff happen?
I'm assuming if he gets the votes to be an All-Star, if he gets the qualifications, he'll be an All-Star. And if not, he's automatically going to be on the Rising Stars team. But if Wemby's on the Rising Stars team, then look out, because they can make a run.
Yeah, I think too, like, I don't know, I just don't like this format. I feel like there's a lot of, like, I don't know, because there's just a lot of, like, weirdness to it. I feel like it's just
there
a little
is.
Bit...
It's very overcomplicated.
Exactly, yeah.
And the main problem is that they're having difficulty getting the players to try. And fan engagement is at a low for All-Star games and compared to pretty distant now years, but it's been trending down. And that's the difficulty, is getting the players to try, because it's looking like the Harlem Globetrotters are doing a shoot-around out there. It doesn't even look like a basketball game anymore. And Adam Silver's trying to get another way to get the players to try, but I just don't think it's going to work. We've had money incentives in the past. I don't think money incentives are going to do it, because the amount of money that you would need to get these people to try at basketball and to risk getting injured it's just too much. These guys have hundreds of millions of dollars already.
Yeah.
These are the best players in the NBA, the richest people in the NBA. So I just don't think $100,000 is going to get them to try, really, like, if I'm being brutally honest.
Like, I saw Stephen A. Smith. He said, like, he doesn't think they're all going to try. And as a whole, All-Star Weekend, it just became very bad. Like, dunk contests, everything like that. Like, everything is just turning downward for the All-Star Weekend. And I think, first of all, fan engagement and player engagement, I think, would be a lot better if you add different, like, different things than just the skills challenge, dunk contest, three-point contest. Like, maybe get, like, a 1v1 tournament going, something like that.
Yeah.
Adam Silver, he has expressed that he wants people to, you know, try harder in an All-Star game. And I just don't think in this day and age, which kind of sucks, they don't take it seriously. Like, back then, they used to, like, okay, it's against the best players in the world. You want to make a statement. But I don't think anybody cares anymore. They just care about the playoffs. And
they do.
Just how.
And it's gotten to the point where you can't even get the best players to compete in dunk contest. And first of all, who cares about the skills challenge? I don't know why anyone cares about that. Three-point challenge, I guess. But I've seen Steph Curry make 100 in a row in practice. So, like... at this point, nothing he can do with those 20 shots can surprise me, because I already know he's the greatest shooter of all time, and him shooting 20 isn't going to change my mind.
I mean, I think it was pretty cool how last year he shot against Sabrina. Maybe you can get, like, Clay and Caitlin Clark and Sabrina and, like, Steph, something like that. Something we haven't seen before, you know? Like, add something new. Like, I think the 1v1 tournament could be perfect.
The 1v1 tournament would be good.
Like, because... that's pride, you know? Like, if you lose to a different player in 1v1, I feel like it just, like, you know, stands different. But All-Star game format, I feel like, and Howard, I don't know, I just don't really like it. Because, first of all, it's too complicated. Second of all, I don't even think that the fans ask for this. They're really just trying to find a solution to make them try harder.
Yeah.
And they're not going to try harder, especially when they're playing against sophomores.
Yeah.
Like, what's the point? Nobody wants to watch them unless Winnie's on the team.
Yeah, exactly.
And the All-Stars... they're the best players in the game, and then you have first and second year players. Like, I think you should just add a fourth All-Star team, or not even do a tournament at all. I think East and West.
Yeah, I don't think a tournament is the answer, because then with that, adding a fourth team, you can't have six players on the team. You would have to expand the number of All-Stars. And I just don't see the league doing that for money reasons. And also, it's like you can't just have everyone be an All-Star. All-Star has to be exclusive. You know, first of all, you're going to mess up the record books with who was an All-Star and who wasn't. There's going to be so many more All-Stars now than before, so I don't think that's possible.
Yeah.
And like I said with the money, if you guys don't know, there's you can get a bigger contract maximum if you're an All-Star. And additionally, if you make like third team NBA, second team NBA, first team NBA, it all goes up from there. So, I just don't see the NBA expanding the amount of people who can get an extra X amount of $1 million per year, because obviously they're going to have to pay for that.
Yeah, like, that's kind of, like, to my, like, a little bit to my point, because, like, obviously I know, like, you can't have this many All-Stars, but, like, it plays a factor because the contracts, everything like that. And I think just overall, this whole concept just isn't good, because, like, nobody cares. Like, I feel like it's going to be worse now, because you're playing against less competition. It's like throwing the whole thing off, and you can't really have four teams because you're paying more people. But I feel like the whole thing, like, you could do the same little concept, but like pay for each quarter. Like you don't have to try. Like there's going to be certain people trying throughout the whole game. I just feel like it's a little bit of a different idea, but I feel like it could work out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know.
Yeah.
I just feel like this day and age doesn't really try an All-Star game anymore, and you can't really do anything to combat that because. I mean, it's their careers at the end of the day. Like, obviously, you want fans to be engaged. Fan viewership is at an all-time low. But, I mean, you can't really make these players try. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and like I said, the money incentives isn't going to do it.
Yeah.
But it has to be a pride incentive. But how do you tell these players that this is prideful? Like, if you lose this game, that means they took a part of your pride, of your dignity. And... to be honest, if they say, I don't care if I lose the All-Star game, what are you going to do? You're going to yell at them? You're going to say, back in the day, like, we used to care. And no, like, it's just not going to work. So I think the 1v1 tournament is a good way to instill pride back into the All-Star weekend. But also, I think with the dunk contest, I think the dunk contest needs to be a prideful thing. Who is the best dunk in the league? We need to see Anthony Edwards in there. We need to see... Zach LaVine in there. We need to see Zion Williamson in there. Obi Toppin can't be the front runner of the dunk contest. No disrespect to Obi Toppin. He can get up there. But he's not a star. And we need to see these stars in the dunk contest. We need to see John Morant in the dunk contest. LeBron's never been in a dunk contest. He was supposed to be in one in 2012, but he backed out. I'm pretty sure that's the right year. But yeah. And so I think the dunk contest is a good way to instill pride back into the All-Star weekend. If you can get the stars to join, because let's be honest, the NBA is full of followers. And not to blame LeBron, but once he stopped really caring about the All-Star weekend and the dunk contest, the fact that he is who he is and he's the type of player that he is and he never joined the dunk contest kind of shows these upcoming stars that it doesn't matter, and that's not what he cares about. So that's not what they care about.
I think also, like, if you can't get these big-name stars like Anthony Edwards, you know, like LeBron, I feel like you can – I know this is going to be bad for the brand, but, like, people will tune in if you get, like, professional dunkers around
that's
the world.
That's true. That, like, Jordan Kilgannon and yeah. Isaiah Rivera, he's a great dunker. And, yeah, I think if that's another good solution. If you to be honest, they're better dunkers than NBA players. It's not like it's a lower quality. The quality is actually way better. If you look at their individual tournaments, it surpasses anything the NBA has ever done. So if you do that, I think that'll instill viewership. That's those clips of them dunking on like whatever, like behind the back, against the backboard, and then dunk. Like that's gonna be way viral than anything we've had since 2016. Since that dunk contest with Eric Gordon, Zach LaVine, and yeah, I think that'll be a great way to promote fan engagement.
And obviously, it's a money thing for the NBA. They're getting more viewers. I think it's really, it comes down to quality at the end of the day. And nobody gives two craps if Anthony Simons wins a dunk contest. Like, I mean, it just is what it is. But when you have professional dunk contest on an NBA stage, and I think they're really going to try hard because they're going to put their name on the map. So I really think that's another good way. If you can't get the stars, obviously, like Anthony Edwards can put on a show, LeBron, like these people can put on a show, but they're not going to want to do it because at the end of the day, they have more to look forward to, and it's not like money doesn't matter to them. They have enough of that, and shoot, LeBron, he's a freaking billionaire. Like these price incentives, obviously, they're good for the average person, but these dudes get fined $100,000 every day. Draymond, multiple times a year, so.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards probably lost $150,000 this year in fines, and I don't think he has any intention of slowing down.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I feel like this whole thing is just, I feel like Adam Silver has lost hope. Like, I feel, not lost hope, but, like, there's not really a way that you can make him try. Like, it is what it is, you know. Like, prize incentives won't matter. Maybe that home court advantage thing, I think that's a good way. But that's kind of too much on the line for an All-Star game. So, I mean, just something that you have to work with, and we'll see if it really works out this year.
Yeah, one last thing. Maybe if you have outside competitors like Jordan Kilgannon and Isaiah Rivera, it'll instill a sense of pride into the NBA stars, like, oh, you think this guy's better than me? This guy's a better dunker than me? Let me show you. You know who I am, and this guy isn't even in the NBA. He can't be a better dunker than me. And hopefully, if they do that, stars will come back, and you can have professional dunkers compete against NBA stars. So that'd be like the best of both worlds, like a best case scenario for the NBA. But do you have anything else to say about the format or the All-Star game in general?
Just thinking about what all we've said, I feel like they're all better solutions than this tournament.
Yeah.
I don't see the reason to put rising stars in this. I feel like it really just ruins the product. Like, obviously, if Wimby's on that team, then
Wimby's an All-Star.
Yeah,
Wimby's an All-Star.
But Wimby is like a top 5 player in the world right now, arguably. But like, he's too good to be on that team, and he deserves to play with the big dogs. Like, I don't know. That game is just kind of just like, what's the point of me watching? Okay, you can get highlights.
Well, Wimby is fourth in the Western Conference front court voting, fan voting. So presumably he's going to get in. He's going to get in because there's no way the coaches don't put him in because he's looking like one of the best players in the world offensively and defensively right now.
Yeah, and I think the only positive to having these rising stars in there is they will try, and if they take a lead, the All-Stars might try. They might start, you know, clamping down, getting the work done, but that's about it. I feel like that's the only upside to it is because they'll try and they'll try to put their name on the map and show that they can hang with the big dogs, but in reality, when they get close, I think the All-Stars are just going to...
Well, I mean, yeah, like the best players in the world. Look at our Team USA. It was ran by 39-year-old LeBron James. We're talking about rising stars, like 22-year-old. Nothing wrong with the rising stars of the NBA, but 40-year-old LeBron James is better than all of them.
Exactly.
So, they just can't compete. They shouldn't be there. It's a level difference. And if they try, I mean, I'm not making any all-star predictions because who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But if they try in a real basketball game, they get blown out of the water 50-50.
Yeah.
So...
Kind of a lot to say about
it. Yeah, me too. All right, so now let's go into the voting. The current voting, Giannis Antetokounmpo is leading all votes as of the most recent polls with almost 3.5 million votes. He's first place in the front court of the Eastern Conference, and following him is Jason Tatum, Karl-Anthony Towns, Paolo, and Jaylen Brown, and Evan Mobley. And once you get past 5 or 6, it's kind of unlikely that those guys from 7 to 10 are going to get into the All-Star game because at the end of the day, there's only 24 spots. And then you have the front court of the East and West Conference as well as the back court of both those conferences. So realistically, or mathematically, matter of fact, on average, it's only going to be the top 6 of each one of these polls that make it on average. So hypothetically, you could have a 5 and a 7. But, so once you get past that number, like, for example, number 7 is Jimmy Butler, followed by Franz Wagner, Joel Embiid, and Jared Allen. Those guys most likely aren't going to make it, nor should they. And, so that is the Eastern Conference front court. And for the guards... LaMelo Ball is in first place at 1.9 million, followed by Donovan Mitchell, Dame, Jalen Brunson, Trae Young, and sixth place, projected to make it, is Tyrese Maxey. Mm-hmm. So that's the East. And one thing that points that is glaringly obvious in my face is that Jordan Poole is above Tyler Hero in fan voting right now. By a margin of about 40,000 or 50,000 votes. Granted, they're 9 and 10, so neither of them are projected to make it right now. But that was just a complete monstrosity to me that the fans would allow Jordan Poole to be voted over Tyler Hero.
Hey, just wait till they get to the West.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
But do you want me to list off the Western Conference?
Then we can get into our snubs, who's high, who's low.
And then for the Western Conference front court, you got Nikola Jokic leading it. Number 2, LeBron. Number 3, KD. Number 4, Victor Wembanyama. Number 5, Anthony Davis. Number 6, Shingun. Number 7, J-Dub. Number 8, Andrew Wiggins. Number 9, Domantas Sabonis. Number 10, Jaren Jackson. And then for the Western Conference guards, you got Shea leading the way. You got Steph number 2, Luka number 3, Kyrie number 4, Ant number 5, Harden number 6, 7 is Ja, 8 is De'Aaron Fox, 9 is Devin Booker, and 10 is Norman Powell.
All right, so let me just start off with the most obvious and ridiculous part of this. Domantas Sabonis should not be number 9. Domantas Sabonis is an all-star. He's the most underrated player in the NBA. The fact that he wasn't last year with all the reserves they had, and he still wasn't an all-star, is absolutely ridiculous. And I'll call it out, too. He should have been in for Cat. Usually, when I hear about snubs, it's always, this person got snubbed, this person got snubbed. But it's never, he should be subbed in for this person. Yeah. And when I talk about snubs, I always like to say, this person is ahead of this person, and it shouldn't be this way. Because otherwise, you're just saying who was on the cusp. But I'm saying specifically, Domantas Sabonis should be in over Cat last year, and he should be in this year again. Domantas Sabonis is currently 9th on the list. He's averaging 21, 14 rebounds, and 6 assists, 60% from the field, and 48% from 3. 14 rebounds. I think rebounds is the most underrated stat in the NBA by fans. And the fact that he's averaging 14, he's not on the All-Star game, is ridiculous. I mean, all you guys at home, if you don't believe me about how underrated of a stat rebounds is, go Google who has 8 or more rebounds per game and look at their salary. It's a direct comparison to who gets paid and who stays in the league. And if they're on a rookie contract, then obviously not going to be paid as much. But look at the second contracts, the people who are averaging at least 8 rebounds a game. Which isn't much, by the way. It's 1 rebound every 6 minutes.
I just want to say, Warriors fans, y'all love pushing Andrew Wiggins, man. He's averaging 17 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists with a team who is like the 10th seed right now.
Yeah.
First of all, they should only have Steph Curry as an all-star. He needs so much more help than what he has. Andrew Wiggins has been fine. He's not an all-star. And Domantas Sabonis, he's on a whole different level. And so is Jaren Jackson Jr. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been hooping this year, too. 22 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists on 1.7 blocks and 1.5 steals. And when John's been out, he's been stepping up. And he's been playing. I think this has been his best year of his career. I think the fact that they're both below Andrew Wiggins is actually insane. And it's kind of like a mockery of, like, why we, as fans, it's great that we get to vote, but it's reasons like this where, in some cases, we shouldn't be voting.
Yeah, and it's reasons like we almost let Zaza Pachulia in the All-Star game. And
Andrew Wiggins started 1 year.
Yeah, and the coaches had to take out Zaza Pachulia. So, yeah, it's ridiculous. I mean, I get it. It increases fan engagement, but sometimes the fans are wrong. And pretty much every year is an example of that. And this year, it's no different, and it has to do with the amount of fans each team has. So a team like the Kings aren't going to get as much representation as the Warriors, and that's obvious. But
there's a low market.
It's unfortunate that Domantas Sabonis has to suffer because he's part of a low market team, and Andrew Wiggins gets all the glory for playing like slightly above average for his caliber of player.
Yeah. And would you say Victor Wembanyama's too low? Do you think he's been playing better than KD? I know popularity plays a thing. The bit, like, 1-3, big dog.
They are right next to each other. It's only 300,000 votes away. I mean, they're at 2.2 and 2.5 million, so it's not that crazy of a difference. But KD is going to get in.
Yeah.
KD, fans wouldn't even look at his stats. They would just see Kevin Durant, oh yeah, I've seen him before. He's won a couple finals. He's been the best player in the NBA. He won an MVP. He carried Team USA for that one game.
Yeah.
Like, it's Kevin Durant. You know who he is.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Durant.
I think also, Şengün, he's in a good place, man. Rockets 2 seed, all I'm saying is I called that. But, I mean, he's been the catalyst. And Jalen Green, ever since the new calendar year, he's been averaging like 30. But Şengün has been there the whole year. He's been hooping.
Yeah, and I have the stats right here. 19, 10, and 5 on 50% from the field.
Exactly.
So he's hooping.
Yeah, I think he's doing really well. And, Western Conference, bigs, I think that's pretty straightforward. I think we went through everything that we think is obviously bad and obviously who's warranted an all-star spot.
So I have a question. J-Dub, do you think J-Dub will or do you think J-Dub should get in?
See, this is – I had a weird little spot because J-Dub, I think he's really good. And I was about to put him in my notes about how he's too high, but he's on the best team in the league. And
he's also one of the best defenders in the NBA.
He's locking up fives, bro.
Yeah.
He's playing – he can guard any position. And I think his stats aren't really – like, they're not telling the whole story. Like, he's averaging 25-5, which, great stats, but he's such an impact player for that team. I think he's worth an all-star spot.
Me, personally, I wouldn't put him above anyone that's currently above him, but
yeah,
I do believe that one of those six above him, so Sengun, Davis, Wemby, KD, LeBron, or Jokic, I do believe one of those six is going to probably sit out for load management or injury or whatever. And I do believe he's going to get a reserve spot, but I wouldn't put him as my top six front court. But also, that's not taking into account that you could have seven Western front court and you could put five All-Stars for another group of either guards or bigs.
I don't think he's above the six ahead of him. I just think he's had an all-star caliber year. I think he's been great, and he's probably going to be one that gets smoked. But I think Sabonis deserves it more because, like, he's the number one option.
I'd put Sabonis over J-Dub, too.
Yeah, I'll put him over
yeah.
J-Dub. And I think Domantas Sabonis, he got smoked last year. It's
he
kinda
did.
Like,
and that was ridiculous with the amount of reserves that he had, and he still wasn't subbed.
Yeah.
There was a case to put him in with no reserves, with no one sitting out. You could have put him in the All-Star game like that. And I believe they had three or four reserves come in, and I have no idea how his name wasn't called.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much it for the bigs
for the West.
Yeah, the West.
Yeah.
And for the West guards, man. I'm going to say this. Both Clippers guys, y'all been hooping, but y'all are not near the same. Y'all should not be up there. Harden and Norman Powell, great years, but I don't think y'all should be an all-star. Especially because James Harden, he's averaging
21-6-8.
On 39% from the field.
Yeah, 40% from the field and 35 from three.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I don't think those are all-star caliber numbers, especially in this loaded
Western. Not anymore. Maybe 15 years ago, those were all-star numbers, but not anymore.
And I kind of want to raise the question, is D-Book too low? I know he's had a down season, but...
Listen, I believe that the guards from the West should only get five All-Stars. I believe Shea, Steph Curry, Luka, Kyrie, and Anthony Edwards. I don't think there should be another All-Star in the West for guards. I think we should allocate that one other position somewhere. You can put J-Dub in. You can put someone like Cade in. There are plenty of guys right on the cusp of other groups that deserve it more than James Harden.
I think... do you think Luka's too high because of the game he's played? He's only played 22 games this year. But obviously he's a really known name.
He's a big name.
Top player in the game. But if we're talking about games played, is he warranted an all-star spot?
That's a good point. He's only played about slightly over half the games. So he's on pace for 40-something games. And as we know, that's below the required amount to earn postseason rewards. And he's actually already disqualified himself for those awards.
Yeah.
So he can't win MVP or not that he would be eligible for, like, comeback player of the year or anything. But he's ineligible for those rewards. And you know what? I could see him moving down a little bit, but I would still have him in the All-Star game.
Yeah. He's too big of a name not to.
Yeah.
And
too good of a player not to.
Just want to put out the question, should he be one because of games played? And Kyrie, I mean, he's been hooping too. But should he be above Anthony Edwards? I don't know. I think Anthony Edwards, his volume to three-point ratio is ridiculous. He's shooting like 42% from three on like, what, 10 attempts?
He's shooting a lot. But the Timberwolves in general as a whole, they're not playing well. So I wonder how much of an effect that has on his voting. I'm sure that the coaches are going to put him in the game no matter what. So it's not like he's going to be a snub or anything because there's no chance of that happening. And call it, if you want to run that back in a little bit and call it a cold take, if I'm wrong, then go ahead. But I don't
think
I'm
wrong. There's no shot you're wrong because if they don't have him in the All-Star game, he's having 26 points, 6 boards, and 4 assists, 42% shooting from three. Those are all-star numbers.
Like, those are all-star numbers.
I don't care how bad your team is right now because it's not his fault. It's the front court's fault. You can't space the floor for him.
And the front office, most importantly.
Yeah. But I think D-Buck, he's been – De'Aaron Fox, he's been really good too. I love De'Aaron Fox, but the Kings,
yeah.
They're on a little hot streak, but ever since the firing of Mike Brown, they've been winning games. But before that, they were losing. They were not winning that many games. I think the Eastern Conference guards, they have a lot of depth there, and they have a lot of depth here with the Western Conference. But people like Cade Cunningham, I think he deserves it over players like De'Aaron Fox and John
really?
Grant, too.
De'Aaron Fox is currently averaging 26-6-5, 48% from the field, and 33% from three. And
I think he's
that. Honestly, nowadays with how stacked the NBA is in terms of who's putting up numbers, that's right at the cusp. So you could say 26 is an all-star amount, but realistically, there are a lot of guys averaging numbers that are comparable to those, and not just in points too. He's only averaging 5 and 6 for rebounds and assists. So there are guys like Sabonis who are averaging slightly less points, but 14 boards. So
you just gotta pick your boys.
You
it's
do.
Just like, it's,
you do.
It's just like nitpicking at this point. Like, there's so much talent in the league, which, I mean, this goes back to the format. You could have more of these guys in if you don't have the rising stars. But obviously, you want to have that standard and the money situation too. So it's weird. I mean, it's all-star season. We love it, but there's a lot of people that have to get cut out.
Yeah. All right. So we want to move to the East.
Yeah,
so the East, we'll start in the front court. Giannis leading all votes with 3.5 million. That is by far first, followed by Jason Tatum, Kat, Paolo, who, by the way, missed a lot of games,
yeah.
But he's still in fourth. And Jaylen Brown, fifth, Mobley in sixth. I don't know how Jimmy Butler's in seventh. Coming
yeah.
from a Heat fan, I have no idea how he's in that. Like, above France Wagner. And Joel Embiid somehow got snuck in here. He shouldn't even be in the top 10, but I guess he made it for reminiscing Sixers fans. But, in last place is Jared Allen, who I guess you could say has a debate just because of his impact and because of his team's play, but realistically, he's not going to be an all-star.
Yeah. I have a lot of problems with this East front court. So, if we're talking about games played, about half of these people in this top 10 are not games played eligible. Like, Joel Embiid.
Paolo.
Paolo's played.
Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler. Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
He also missed time. There's, like, it's a lot. And before this, like, before the most recent one, Paul George was even up there. He's been terrible this year.
Yeah.
And
Playoff B.
Yeah, I mean.
Or Podcast B.
Yeah, Podcast B nowadays. But, like, I don't know. I don't know who I would put above a lot of these guys, but, like, a lot of them don't deserve to be in this voting.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be mad if you allocated some of their spots to other positions.
Exactly. Because I think the guards in both conferences are really good.
Yeah.
And I don't think you really need that much depth at the forward spot because it's positionless basketball. You can play. If you really want to, you can play Luka at the three. You can play like Ant at the three.
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, it's positionless basketball. And I think with a lot of these Eastern frontcourt players, they don't have enough games played. Paolo, when he has been on the court, he's been killing. So is Franz Wagner. But people like Jimmy Butler, he's not been hooping like that.
No.
Like, he hasn't been.
And the fact that he's over Jimmy Butler, even though they're in different groups. The fact that he's over, I mean, sorry, not Jimmy Butler, Tyler Herro. The fact that he's over Tyler Herro is ridiculous. I mean, I follow the Heat on Instagram, and the Heat don't even promote Jimmy Butler in the All-Star game. They don't even tell you to go vote for him. But every day you're going to see, go vote for Tyler. But they don't even tell you to vote for Jimmy Butler, who's ahead of Tyler. And according to the fan vote, has a better chance.
And going back to games played, Embiid has 13 games played. Paolo has 10 games played. Franz, he has 25 games played, and Jimmy Butler has 24 games played. That is not a lot of games compared to a lot of these other guys
yeah.
at different positions. And I think,
like, especially Kat, who, by the way, is getting run into the ground. He's
yeah.
first in all minutes across the league. Last
yeah.
I checked.
I know that whole Knicks team is. I know Mikal Bridges, he's getting thrown out there. Like,
yeah.
Maybe, like, the whole Knicks team.
Oh, Mikal might be first,
yeah,
but I think Kat is top five.
Number one. But that whole team, like Thibodeau, we're not going to go into this little debate, but he needs to play some more players, man.
Yeah.
Especially in the regular season. Like, it's all good. But, I don't know. Those are kind of my thoughts on the Eastern Conference front court. I think a lot of them don't deserve to be in this voting because
yeah.
of games played.
I have no problem with Giannis, Jason Tatum, Kat,
yeah.
Jaylen Brown, Evan Mobley. Evan's been hooping.
Yeah.
He should be in it. But it really comes down to the game's play. It comes down to
Yeah,
that's true. And even though he is winning games.
Yeah, he's a big part of it too, but he's just not an all-star.
He's
down to 14-10.
Yeah.
And if you want to give people like Sabonis, give him some because of this little format you have to do, like a certain amount of Eastern Conference bigs to Western Conference bigs, I don't think they deserve it. I think they should. Especially if they're not even doing East versus West. They're doing the draft.
Yeah, they're doing drafts. So
I don't think you need many Eastern Conference bigs when you have the West who's stacked over there. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's the question.
All right, so you ready for the guards in the East?
Yeah.
So, surprisingly, and maybe the time has changed, maybe the torch has been passed, I wasn't aware of it, the Melo Ball is first in fan voting. For the guards in the East. Wow, the Melo Ball.
Yeah.
What a time to be alive. I remember watching him as like 5 years old.
Yeah. See, I was thinking about putting him on here for too high, but he's probably the most entertaining player in the league right now.
Yeah, and if I've ever seen a player more suited
for an
to be in an All-Star game. Yeah.
And he's averaging 30 points. I mean, he's shooting a crap ton of shots, but he's averaging 30 points. I mean, he's warranted it.
He is in the Hornets.
Yeah. Him and Brandon Miller got to get them shots up. But he's for sure eligible to play this All-Star game. I think he's deserving to play in this All-Star game. And I think him, Donovan Mitchell, Damian Lillard, Brunson, and Trae Young, and I would personally pick Cade Cunningham over Maxey just because of the wins, the impact, everything. I think they all deserve to get in. And Tyler Hero, Darius Garland. It's begs the question. There's so many good guards.
So everyone but Jordan Poole.
Exactly. Everybody but Jordan Poole. But, like, it's so hard to choose because there's so many good guards.
Yeah, there are. And unlike what we talked about with the bigs and these guards have pretty much all played a significant amount of games. So there's going to be some snubs in here. And, you know, that's...
It just is what it is.
Yeah, that's a good problem to have, that there are a lot of good players in the NBA. So, if Adam Silver, if this is the worst of his problems in the All-Star game, which it's not, but if it was, then it'd be great.
Yeah, I think you can for sure make the argument for Darius Garland because they're the best team in the East. And
you can make the argument for Maxey because the numbers he's putting up individually.
Like, you can... Every single guard on this list.
And same with Cade, how the Pistons have turned around.
Yeah, they turned around so much. And it's because of Cade. Cade's been hooping, dude. Like, I think, like, he's kind of the epitome of, like, a rising player who's all, like, it's his time. It's his time to take the torch and to start. I think he's the main catalyst for the Pistons rebuild. And I think...
Yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah, it has to be. And I think it's tough because all these guards deserve to make it, but a lot of them have to get cut out, too. So...
Yeah, and unfortunately, as a Heat fan, I'm going to say I think Tyler Hill is going to be the one that's going to get cut out, one if not more. Darius Garland, honestly, it's a 50-50 whether Garland gets in to me.
Yeah, he's
not far off in fan voting. He's only two places down from Maxey, who's six. And I really do think the coaches are going to put heavy emphasis on the wins that the Cavaliers have. And I think they're going to bump up Garland. And it's tough to say like who they're gonna put him over. Probably Maxey and Cade.
Yeah.
But I think the top five is completely solidified.
Trae Young's been hooping.
Trae Young, I was about to talk about Trae Young. Trae Young, he's been averaging 23, 3, and 12 assists on 40% from the field and 37% from three, which is extremely good knowing the types of threes he takes.
Yeah.
But I think he's averaging the most assists per game. Or assists total, because he hasn't missed a lot of games either, since John Stockton back in the day. So it's something we haven't seen in a long time. And, I'm not going to make the argument that he's one of the top-tier players as the guys ahead of him in general because of his defense and because of everything like that, shot selection. But the numbers that he's putting up should overrule all of that.
A lot of 2020 games.
Yeah, they should overrule all of that, and he should be in the All-Star game.
And it fits his play style. Like, you could say Jalen Brunson's are better, but Trae Young is he fits his game.
Yeah, the All-Star game. Like, Jalen Brunson is not going to pull up from half court. Jalen Brunson is going to use his head like a rhino and shoot like a 30 floaters a game. And I don't want to see that. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody likes watching him play. So, unless you're a Knicks fan, which if you're a Knicks fan, then seek help. Trae Young owns you. But
that's another point.
Yeah.
But that, just saying, all these guards have been phenomenal this year, but some of y'all gotta get cut.
Yeah.
And do we want to predict who's gonna be like the starters for three of these teams?
Oh, so the top 15 players then?
Yeah.
Well, that's gonna be difficult because of the draft.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good point.
So
it's gonna be hard to do, but.
But I don't think there's going to be any change in who's eligible to get in the top five or who's reasonable, because if you're the top 15 player in the NBA, you're not really on the cusp to get in. So, I think we can do that. Do you want to go in order or just like in all 15? Like who's going to start?
We can do who's going to start. I think that would be cool.
Let's just knock out the easy ones right now.
Yeah.
All right, so number one, LeBron's going to start. Jokic is going to start. KD is going to start. Shea is going to start. Giannis is going to start. LaMelo is going to start.
Yeah.
Six.
Six, we can talk about Jason Tatum. Probably going to make it.
Jason Tatum's going to start. Seven.
You can honestly argue Towns. He's had a great year.
Cat. Okay, I agree with that one.
Mitchell?
Did we say...
Can we go Mitchell?
Yeah, yeah. Did we say...
Victor,
I was about to say, yeah, Victor, so that's 10. Five more. Steph, 11.
Anthony Edwards, probably.
Anthony Edwards, 12.
Luka,
13.
Shoot.
Now this is where it gets hard. This is where it gets hard.
Do we want to give it to AD?
I'd say yes, 14.
All right.
Last one. You know what? I'm going to put a proposal with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
Kyrie, not saying he's like in the same category. I'd say he's slightly below the rest of those guys we just named. But just the fact that it's an All-Star game and that he's the most skilled player in NBA history, I think he's gonna start.
Yeah, I mean, you can also make the argument for Damian Lillard or somebody like that. But
yeah, because Dame has shown out in All-Star games before.
Yeah, these are just like little things. Like, you know, the locks. You know, like LeBron's of the world, all of them, but we'll see. We'll see who gets these starting spots for, you know, the lower All-Stars, you could say, like Kyrie.
Yeah.
But I think that's about it. I think
yeah, it's
pretty good.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. If there's anything we missed or anything you guys want to say, let us know in the comments down below. And all right, have a good day.
See y'all.